We're learning Daf Nun Gimel. We start right from the top, the beginning of the Mishnah, right at the top of the Yomid. Now, just to put things into perspective and into context, we've been discussing throughout this parak various things that when a person makes a neder, what exactly is included in the neder, when he specifies something, does it mean that thing specifically, or does it mean anything around it, and so on and so forth. That's just the background for this Mishnah. So here we go. Let's read the Mishnah itself. Somebody makes a neder that he's not going to eat dates. Mutter b'dvash tamarim. He's still allowed to eat the honey of those dates, because that's not apparently what he meant when he said dates. He didn't mean the honey. Mustaniyos, if he says, I'm not going to eat I already made a mistake. It's not that I eat. I am making mustonios otter usser. That's my neder is on the mustonios. Mustonios are grapes, are winter crop grape that apparently they never fully ripen. Okay? So what do you do with them? Mutter b'chaymet sustonios. It's still permissible to eat the vinegar that is made from these grapes. Now the chiddush over here, as we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, is that's really their sole purpose, because these grapes are never going to ripen. These are not the type of grapes that you would buy in ShopRite and put on your kitchen table. These are not grapes that you eat. These are grapes that are good for manufacturing. They're good for and even so, the chiddush of the Tanakhama is, and that's why it's such a chiddush, the chiddush of the Tanakhama is that even though I made a neder on them, on these grapes, they themselves don't serve a purpose in and of themselves. Even so, I didn't mean the vinegar that comes from him, and the vinegar that comes from them, according to the Tanakhama Shita, is going to be mutter. Therefore, okay, fine, that's the Tanakhama Shita. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Kol Shashem told us a kruya alav, anytime that the derivative, the thing, the product, the byproduct of this item has the same name as the product itself. So for example, you have, using going back to the first example in the Mishnah, you said dates and you have date honey. So the product has the same name as the original item itself. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, so v'noyder haymenu osur b'yotze haymenu. So then it's going to be usher as well, because since I said dates, and this is called date honey, so it has the name date in it, so it's still considered this part of the same idea, so it's going to, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Shita is that therefore it's included in the neder, and it's going to be usher. The Chachamim Matirim. And the Chachamim say, no, it's not going to be usher. Now the Pashtus is, the simple way of reading the Mishnah is, that the Chachamim are saying, no, that the date honey, the thing, the product, the derivative of the original item, is going to be mutter. Now, therefore, the very obvious question that the Gemara asks, and everybody asks immediately, is, if the Chacham is saying, or it's mutter, and we understand that to mean that we're talking about the date honey, as on our example, the thing, the product, then that's exactly the Tanakhama Shita also that says that the product is going to be mutter. So that's the first question that the Gemara is going to ask, but before we get there, we'll talk about Iran for a second, but the Gemara is going to ask that the Tanakhama Shita and the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah are basically saying the same thing. Now that's all because we assume that the Chachamim are talking about the product, the date honey. That's what we're talking about, and therefore that's the machlokes. So what are they saying any different? Okay, but before we get there, let me just point out one very important ran. So the Ran asks a question that the Mishnah itself seems to contradict. As we said, this Mishnah is in context of the previous Mishnayos, and this Mishnah seems to contradict what we just said earlier, because the Mishnah earlier, we said that when a person makes a neder on milk, he includes the kum, he includes the whey, right? Because why? And we said, and it's a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi. And in conclusion, the Gemara says, well, that's only because that's what it is called. And Rabbi Yossi says it's mutter because that's what it's called. Either it's called kum chalav or it's not called kum chalav, depending on what you call it. So, but if it has the name milk in the definition, in the title of the item, then it is clearly included. That's the whole point. That's the whole machlokes between the Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim. If so, our Mishnah shouldn't even be up for discussion. Because if we're talking about dates and it's called date honey, then it's literally exactly the same example. It's called date honey. It has the title, has the name of the object that you're making the neder in. So why is there even a shita why does our Tanakhama even hold that it is mutter? That's right. Seems to contradict, literally contradict the Mishnah before, the whole meaning behind the Mishnah before. So the Ran has two terutzim. One teretz he brings from the Rajvas, an interesting teretz. He says that you can't compare the two cases, because in the case of milk, the whey and the milk, that is how it is created. That is its starting point. Its starting point is milk and whey, and the question is just whether you call it that or not. But it's lemaisa. It, nothing changed from what the way it started as milk originally, as opposed to over here where you have a date. Dates are dates. If you want, you could change it, you could squish it, you could do whatever you do to it, and you turn it into honey. It's a completely different thing. So therefore, that's our Mishnah's, in the case of the kum and the milk, it is what it is, and it's just a question of, do I refer to it that way? So it's just a question of title. It's a question of, what do I call it? But over here, there's another, the Chachamim are able to say that it's mutter, because even though I call it by that title, it is really a new product. It is really a new thing. A date and date honey are not the same thing. It doesn't come that way. You have to make it that way. So therefore, it's not included, and that's the Rajba's teretz. The Ran's teretz is, the Ran's teretz is that, from a completely different angle, is that, why do we call it date honey? We call it date honey because we're trying to distinguish it from some other type of honey. For example, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, honey usually means bee honey. It doesn't mean date honey. So when I say the word honey, what comes to mind? I would think bee honey. So I call it date honey just to identify it, which means that I am clearly identifying it as something else. Whereas by the milk and the whey and the milk, I don't call it whey or milk whey or whatever we call it, because I'm trying to identify it as something else, to distinguish it between that and something else. So therefore the name doesn't really mean anything. So why am I call? So when I say the name is really part of what it is defining it. Whereas by the date honey, it's not defining the date honey, it's making it, it's really, it's to prove that it's something else. It's not what you think it is. And therefore, that's why the Chachamim were able to make a difference over here. You know what I'm saying? The Ran's Teretz is a little bit more complicated. He's saying that the name is here to show that it really is something completely else, and I'm just using this name, not because the name really is, it is the date. I'm just using the name to identify it as something else that it's not. It's not bee honey. It's, again, using our example of the Mishnah. Anyway, therefore, again, it's not the same rule, it's not the same halacha, that even though in the Mishnah before, milk and whey could be considered one, because they are one and the same, and I'm not using the word, I'm not calling it milk whey, because that is, it's something else. It is milk. That's what it is. And I'm calling it because it is. Whereas by date honey, I'm only calling it date honey. It's really honey. But I'm calling it date honey, distinguish it from something else. So therefore it has nothing to do with the date, per se. And therefore it's not included in the neder. In any event, that's the chiddush that the Ran has on the Mishnah. Now we're going to get to what the machloik is between the what we call the Tanakhama Shita and the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah, to which the Gemara, again, as we explained, is a very obvious question. The Gemara immediately says, Chachamim Hainu Tanakhama, it's the same thing. Again, because we understand that the point of the Tanakhama is to tell us that the product is not the same as the original item, the date honey is not the same as the date, so the Chachamim are saying that the Tanakhama Shita is therefore the date honey is mutter, and the Chachamim seem to be saying the same thing also, that the date honey is mutter. So it's saying the same thing. So the Gemara immediately asks, Chachamim Hainu Tanakhama, we don't need to repeat ourselves. So the Gemara says, in a very interesting way, the Gemara says, Ikka Beinayu Hada Detanyo. The nafkamina between the Chachamim and the Tanakhama is really based on this Braisa over here that we're about to bring, and whether or not we agree with the Braisa or disagree with the Braisa is really, in essence, the Machloikis in our Mishnah. Detanyo, we learned in the Braisa. Klal ze amar Reb Shimon ben Elozer. Reb Shimon ben Elozer taught us the following rule: Kol shedarkoi lechol v'derech hayoytzi mimenu lechol. So anytime you have something that you eat the original item and you also eat the product, you eat the derivative. So, and what would be a simple example? Go into marim v'dvash marim. So very simple is the case of our Mishnah is a good example, because you eat dates and you also eat honey. So you're eating the original item and you're eating the product as well. So therefore the rule is, nadar boy, Aser b'yotzei menenu. If you make a neder in on the item, meaning the date, then you're also yotze, you're also including the derivative, the product, the date honey is also going to be aser. Neder miyotzei menenu aser boy. So this is a little bit of a funny lashon, but this is the girsa that we have. That if you make a neder on the product, so then you're only yotz usser on the product. So if I say I'm not eating date honey, then I only mean to include date honey, not the date itself. I'm being very specific that I'm only including the date honey itself. Okay, so far that is, by the way, a clear contradiction with the Tanakama Shita, because the first thing he said was that if I eat both the date and the honey, then by saying date, I clearly do mean the honey, and that's obviously not like the Chachamim Shita, not like the Tanakama Shita. But before we get into the explanation, let's just finish the rule, because the next part is also very important. Now, what if you have kol shed da'ein darkoi lechol? What if I don't eat the original product? Let's say, and again, using the second example of our Mishnah, these grapes, these winter grapes, that nobody really eats the winter grapes. They're not so edible per se. They're good for production. But I do eat the product of it. So the vinegar that I would eat, that I would eat. So another boy, so the chiddush of the Reb Shimon Elazar is that even if I make a neder on the grapes, ain aser ella b'yotzei mimenu. So I'm only aser if I made the neder that I want to make the grapes aser. I don't even mean the grapes. I only mean the vinegar that comes from it. I only intended to include what comes out of it. So that's a very big chiddush, which is clearly in opposition to what the Chachamim, what the Tanakama Shita is. The Tanakama Shita is, he says clearly just the opposite, because he also uses the example of the winter grapes. And in his example of the winter grapes, he says that the product is mutter. And Rav Shimon ben Elazar is saying, no, the only thing that's included in my nether is the product. The actual grapes themselves are not even usher. Okay, so there already right away you have a machloikus between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon ben Elazar. What's included in this neder? Even just jumping to the second example, what's included in the neder and what's not included in the neder is already a machloikus. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says only the product is included, and the Tanakama Shita is only the object is included and not the product. So you have literally opposites of each other. Okay, so the way the Ran explains this gets a little bit complicated. But he basically what he's saying is like this, that the Chachamim, he wants to learn the Chachamim Matirin is referring to not the way we learned the Mishnah, that it is referring to the product, but rather the Chachamim are going to hold exactly like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and when they say mutter, they're actually referring to the grapes themselves, to the winter grapes themselves, and they say that's the Chachamim Matirin are mutter in the grapes. Because he could agree with Rav Shimon ben Elazar. The way the Ran learns is Rav Shimon ben Elazar and the Chachamim, the end Chachamim of our Mishnah, line up perfectly. They agree with everything. That if the product and the original item and the product are the same, then they both have the same rule. They're both going to be Aser. But on the other hand, but if the original item is not edible, then I only mean the product. And the original item is literally going to be mutter, which is the opposite of what our Tanakama Shita is. Because remember, again, let's just use the example of the winter grapes. It's very easy. It's much easier to follow. The winter grapes, people don't eat them because they don't fully ripen. They never fully ripen. They're not kishmak to eat. But they're great for producing, you know, for producing vinegar. Right? So the vinegar is edible. It's food. It's going to be used in your cooking or whatever you're going to do. Okay. So the Chachamim, the Tanakama Shita clearly says that the grapes are usher because that's what my nether was, and the vinegar is mutter. The product is mutter. And the Rav Shimon ben Elazar says just the opposite, which he says the grapes are mutter because I never meant to include the grapes. Okay, that's one reversal. And the vinegar is usher because that's what I meant with my nether, which is exactly what the Tanakama said is mutter. And that's what the Chachamim are going to hold. They're going to line up exactly like that Shita. And they're going to say, so when they say the words, v'chachamim matirin, they're actually referring to the grapes. the grapes are going to be mutter. Even the Chacham, when they say it's mutter, they don't mean to say, so this is one of the things, the point that the Ran is trying to emphasize over here. The Chacham and Matirin don't mean to say that everything is mutter. They don't mean to say both the grapes and the vinegar are mutter. That they don't say. It could be that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira might hold that. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira might hold that if the grapes are mutter, then, because I don't mean to include the grapes because I don't eat them anyway, I could also make the vinegar mutter. I can make everything mutter. So Rabbi Yehuda would, so to speak, according to the way the Ran learns, would be a third shita. Would be a third shita. But the point is the Chachamim line up exactly like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So the question that I saw that a lot of people ask, again, when I say a lot of people, I don't necessarily mean the Rishonim or Achronim. I'm just saying that, you know, that people ask, is that, where do you see all of this in the words V'chacham Matirin? Which is really interesting. How do you know that we're talking about the, right? Because all they're saying is that the grapes are mutter. V'chacham Matirin means the grapes. So the beauty of this is that's the way, because the Mishnah, whenever you have something, a clear, blatant contradiction in a Mishnah. The Mishnah itself, the way the reading the words don't make sense, because we would never say the Chacham Matirim, which would be exactly the same as the Tanakhama. That's already hinting to us that there's a machlokes, that they're arguing about something, and they're not arguing about what we say, what it looks like they're arguing about, because we already have the Tanakhama Shito, and we already know the machlokes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So it must be that the Chacham Matirim are really referring to something else. And we don't know what it is until we see the Brisa. The Brisa is like, ah, that's the background over here. That's what's going on over here. They're really arguing about, as I said in our example, the grapes themselves, whether they're going to be mutter or asur, which neither Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira or the Tanakhama discuss. So that's the beauty of the way Mishnayos are written. They're completely hidden, but you have to figure it out by reverse engineering or you know, process of elimination, whatever word you want to use, but you have to figure out that that's the case that the Chachamim are talking about as mutter. So it comes out lemaskana, the way the Ran learns, that you have that's a three-way machlokes in this case. You have a three-way machlokes in this case. Okay? So according to the Tanakhama, let's just use the case of the grapes and the vinegar. According to the Tanakhama, the grapes are usr. And the vinegar is mutter. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, it's possible to say that both are going to be mutter, because the grapes are not edible, and the vinegar is not what you had in mind to make the neder on. So that's not something that's not going to be there's nothing for the neder to be chal on. Or you could say they're both aser, maybe, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, because they both. You could actually say, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, both are aser because their product is the same as the original item. The original item would have been usur. I meant it on that. So I mean both the original item and the product, because they're both included in my neder. And then you have the Chachamim say that, the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah, that are just the opposite. They're saying the grapes are mutter and the product is usur. Even though I made the neder on the grapes are still mutter because I have no use for them other than the product. So and the vinegar. So therefore my neder was originally intended for the vinegar. Okay? That would be exactly in line with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that would be in line with the shita of the brisa. Okay? So there is a machlokes here.
Okay, go on.
Alright, so the next mission continues. Hanoider min hayayin. Hanoider min hayayin. Somebody makes neder specifically, he just says the word wine. Mutter biyayin tapuchin. It's mutter for, it does not mean wine made out of pomegranate. So even though you could make apple wine or whatever, there's different things, products. When I say wine, we all know what wine means. Wine means grape wine. And therefore not anything else. Min hashemen, if I say oil is aser, mutter b'shemen, shum shemen, I do not mean sesame seed oil. I mean the regular oil, which we'll see in the Gemara is not so poshut, but it means the olive oil. That's the typical classic oil. Min advash, if I say I don't want to eat honey, mutter b'dvash tvarim, I do not mean to include date honey, because again, everybody, the societies as could change. But in our society, when we say honey, we mean bee honey. Min achoimitz, if I say I don't want to eat vinegar, mutter b'choimitz tonios, I do not mean the vinegar of the winter grape product, because that's secondary. That's not what people use if they don't have to. Min akrishin, mutter b'kaplutos. So krishin is, and I always is, right, so when if a person says it leaks, It doesn't mean the kapluta. So kapluta is actually a machlekes, exactly what the word kapluta says, but there are those that translate it mean the head of the leek. The head of the leek. It means is the leek itself, the longer part of it. If you look like, if it's, it looks like a scallions. Similar.
Onions or gourd?
So does he mean the green part or the white part on the bottom, which is the head?
I think he meant the white part. That's how I understood it. I don't know what he meant. But the point is that he means that even within the leek itself, which is of course a much bigger chiddush than the rest of the Mishnah, because here we're talking about different parts of the same product, different parts of the same thing, that it means, now that's one way of learning it, that it means a different part, that when I say the leeks, I mean, you know, because think about it, you know, when you're cooking, there are those people that chop that part off. They just throw out the, you know, like, you know, when you take a carrot, you just cut off the top and you just throw it out. And you don't even put that into the soup or whatever. So the same thing over here also, it could mean the head. There are those that learn kaplutos is just a different brand. It's a different, even though it might look similar, it actually is something else. It's a different vegetable, but it looks like a leek, and therefore the chiddush is that's not what you mean to include. It says menayerek. Similarly, if a person makes a neder from a vegetable, mutter biyurakas hasoda, you're even mutter to eat the vegetables that grow wild in the fields. Shehu shem lavoi, because it has a different name, meaning it's called yurakas hasoda. It's not called when you grow tomatoes and cucumbers in your backyard, so that you don't call them backyard vegetables, your garden. I mean, you do call them garden vegetables, but I'm saying you don't label them. They're just vegetables. Whereas when you have the wild vegetables, they get a new name. In general, you would refer to them always as the wild vegetables and something else. Therefore, you see what the Mishnah is talking about is that even within something, and even if people understand that it could mean that. It's not what people generally mean. And we're able to extrapolate from that and use this Mishnayos as an example for when we make a neder, we're able to say, you mean the mainstream. Now, every person is entitled to say, when I made the neder, I personally, and he can explain immediately and say, my neder means specifically this type of thing, and it doesn't mean what everybody else means. That's fine. You could explain yourself to mean something different. But in general, the general rule that the Mishnah is coming to tell us over here is that when you reference something, you are referencing what everybody knows that what you mean to be referencing. Again, unless you specifically say, I don't mean what everybody else means, I'm saying something different. But if you don't say that, then you mean what everybody else means, and therefore, and you're right, it will depend on your culture, what's included and what's not included, because in your culture, if this means, you know, if this word means something else, you know, then it means, right? So that's the point of the Mishnah. And it could even mean nuance of a difference. That's the chiddush, and we'll see. The Gemara is going to talk about some of the slight differences and variations that can make all the difference in the world. So that's what I'm taking out of this Mishnah. It is a lot of examples, but the point of all these various examples, what the sum total and what they add up to be, is that you could see that the little bit of a difference is a big difference. A little bit of a difference is a big difference. Okay. So based on that note, that's the end of this Mishnah. Then the Gemara continues. Hatanya. Hanoidu min ha-shemen be'eretz Yisrael. So again, back to the whole point that we're saying over here is that what do I mean? What do people generally mean? So it depends where you are. In Eretz Yisrael, when I say oil, mutter b'shem shem shemin enachanami like our Mishnah, I don't mean sesame oil, because they didn't use sesame oil in Eretz Yisrael. V'asur b'shem and zayis. But they would use olive oil. That was the classic product. Here's the chiddush. Ube b'bavel, and in b'bavel, it's just the opposite. Asur b'shem shem shemin. In b'bavel, that's where they grew sesame seeds, I guess. And therefore, that's the oil that they use, the mutter b'shem and zayis, and it would be mutter to use olive oil. Because they didn't have that product, it wasn't something common over there, so that's not what people would refer to. When they say oil, that's not what they have in mind. Okay. However, the Chiddush, the Braisa continues, Malkin Shem Estavkin Mizeh Mizeh, if it's a place where they have availability and they use both of the products, also Mizeh Mizeh, then the neder does include both. So of course, Pshita, of course, if I meant it, why wouldn't I mean? So the Gemara answers like, Tzricha Deruba Minchad Mestapkin, that most people use oil. When I say go shopping for me, and you know, my wife gives me a shopping list and she says buy oil, what does she mean? again, that's a harder example in our society. But what do most people get? And then you might think that by roiv, but when it comes to nedarim, you should follow the roiv. Kamash malon. So that's the chiddush over here. Safik yisura lechumra, which is really interesting. We don't say kamash malon that I meant both, but it's considered a safik whether I meant both. And since it's a safik whether I meant both, we're going to include both. It's a very interesting lashon that the Gemara uses. It's a safik yisura lechumra. It's misafik because I don't know. I can't really tell you for sure that that's what I meant. Even though most people do mean that, but I don't know for sure that that's what you meant, and therefore we're going to assume that that's what's included in the neder. Okay, so continuing on, anoydim in a yerek, somebody makes the neder from vegetables. B'shar shnei shavua, during the rest of the years, meaning not shmita. Also b'yirokas hagina, you cannot eat the vegetables in your garden because those are what you include. That's what you naturally think of as vegetables. Umuta b'yirokas hasada, but you don't mean the field ones because, as we discussed in the Mishnah, you refer to them differently. However, b'shvius, but if on shmita itself, it's the opposite. Also b'yirokas hasada, you're only referring to the vegetables in the field because during Shemitah you don't plant. So the only vegetables that are around are vegetables from the field. So that's l'chayra what you're referring to. Omotar b'yirokas hagina, and you don't even mean the field, you don't even mean the vegetables in your garden. And by the way, the Rishonim point out, interestingly, is even if somehow your tomato plant, you know, you dropped a seed last year and didn't pay attention to it, and it grew this year during Shemitah. You didn't plant it, but it, you know, just whatever, for whatever reason, it grew. Even that, it's still going to be mutter. Because that's not what I mean. Again, by nedarim, it goes by what did I mean. So just because even though it's possible, so the chiddush is that even if, not only do they not exist, but even if they happen to exist, that's not what I would mean when I say the word vegetables during Shemitah. During Shemitah, to me, vegetables means the crazy stuff that I get out in the field. It doesn't mean, even if I happen to randomly grow something in my garden, it's still not included in my nether. Right.
That's a tomato. Tomato's a winner, right?
Right, right.
So it's mutter.
It's mutter, exactly. Even though it grows, and even though I said vegetable, and normally the word vegetable does include a tomato,
yeah.
Even so, that's not what I meant when I made it. When I make an edder during Shemitah, what I mean is those wild vegetables out in the field. Even though the rest of the years, when I said the word vegetable, I meant my tomato. But Shemitah, I don't mean my tomato. And even if my tomato happens to grow, I still don't mean my tomato. Because that's not what people, that's not what people refer to. So Rabbu now says the name of Rabbi Gamliel, we're moving to Nun Gimel Amud Beis. Okay, so this idea that I don't mean regular vegetables is only talking about in those locations where they didn't import other vegetables into Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they didn't have those regular vegetables. But if you lived in a place, if the custom at the time was that they did import regular vegetables into Eretz Yisrael, so then vegetable still means vegetables. Again, because when I say the word vegetables, if none of them are available and none of them are accessible, then I don't mean that. But if they are accessible, regardless, okay, yeah, the natural way is in my own garden, but if they're accessible because they're out in the market, then that's also what I mean. So the chiddush is that I literally don't mean vegetables in my garden because garden vegetables, I don't mean garden vegetables because they're just not around, they're not on my mind, I don't think about them. But if they are around, regardless of where they come from, the point, even from export, they're still going to be included in my nether because they're still the natural thing of what a vegetable means. And the Gemara says, finishes off on this point, very interesting, Ketanai, it's Machlekes Tanaim, Ein Mevi in Yerek Mechutz Laaretz Laaretz. One Shita says, you can't bring outside vegetables into Eretz Yisrael. Reb Chananya ben Gamliel Oimer, Mevi in Yerek Mechutz Laaretz Laaretz. He says you could. Reb Chananya says you could. So the Gemara says, my time at the Manda Omer, Ein Mevi, why shouldn't you be able to bring vegetables? It's not like there's a Shumas and Meisters issue, what's the problem? Am Rav Yirmiya Mishum Gush. So Rav Yirmiya says, no, the issue here has nothing to do with the vegetables, has to do with the dirt that goes on. The problem is that when you import the vegetables, especially in the old days when it took a long time to import, the only way to keep them fresh was to keep them in their natural environment, in their dirt. And the dirt, we hold, we have a Gzeira de Rabbanon, that Gush Eretz, Eretz, of Chutz La'aretz is considered Tameh, and we don't want to bring extra Tumah into Eretz Yisrael. So the Yisrael over here has nothing to do with vegetables, has to do with the Tumah and the dirt that's attached to the vegetables. So it happens to be a side point. And again, there were some places again, or some periods of time, some places, I'm not sure when it happened and when it didn't happen, but the point is sometimes they had outside sources and sometimes they didn't have outside sources, and then it depends, then it's just a matter of, well, that's what I meant. Okay, which takes us to the last Mishnah, Minak Kruv. If a person makes a neder, again, continuing in the same vein, what did he include in his neder? So he says that I'm not going to eat a kruv, which is a type of gourd. Aser be ispargus. Then he's not allowed to eat the asparagus. So asparagus again is a machlokes, what exactly it means. Let's just read the simple shot is, some people say it's a different type of fruit. That's just not, it looks the same, but it's not the same. Some people say it's the kruv. In order to eat a kruv, you have to cook it. And there are juices and waters that come from it, which by the way, could be used as medicines or whatever, but the people don't normally drink them. So therefore, that's not what's included in it. So actually, it's also asparagus because it is something that actually normally naturally comes from, you always have to cook it, so you're always going to have that juice. So it's always going to be there, therefore it's aser. However, min asparagus, if a person makes the neder specifically on the juice, mutter b'kruv, then he doesn't mean the original product because he's already going to the next step. Min agrisin. Grisin is apparently translated as grits. It's a type of vegetable. Aser b'makafa, it's, you're not allowed to eat the thicker concoction of food that you would make with these grits. Rabbi Yossi Mater, Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's not what I meant. I meant the grits in themselves. I don't mean the mixture it's with. Similarly, min akafa, but if I make the neder already on the mixture itself, multiple grits, and then for sure I don't, the ingredients are not going to be also, the grits and the grits are not going to be included. Another example that the Mishnah gives, min akafa, once again, if I make a neder on the concoction, aser b'shum, I also do mean to include the shum, because it's, the shum is grinded in, it's an integral part of the mixture, and therefore it's the whole, it's the garlic itself, and the garlic is going to be also. Rabbi Yossi Matir, Rabbi says, no, I only mean it in its form in the mixture, but I don't mean it separately. Okay, the other way around. Min hashum, if I make a neder on the garlic, mutter b'makafa, then it is mutter in the makafa. Again, because garlic could be used in so many different ways, I mean it specifically in the form that it's in as the garlic, not when it gets mixed into something else. That's this Tanakh Hamashita. Min ha'adoshim, we actually quoted this part of the Mishnah earlier. Earlier in the parak, min ha'adoshim. The person makes a nether on the lentils. Asur ba'ashishim. The Tanakh Hamashita is, I do include the ashishim. Again, is another mixture that you make with lentils. Rabbi Yossi Matan, Rabbi Yossi says, no, even though lentils are mixed in, it's not really the focus of the dish. There's bread, there's honey, there's other things that are mixed in. Lentils just happens to be there, so I don't mean to include it. Min ashishim. But if I make a neder on the mixture, mutar ba'adoshim, then again, I only mean it because of the mixture. I don't mean the separate products. Right? If I say I'm not eating krepluch, so I only mean it when they look like krepluch. I don't mean to say now all dough and all meat and all everything else is aser. I only mean the krepluch themselves. So here in the ashishim is the mixture. Okay, the next part of the Mishnah is very interesting because it's very specific to the words. Chita chitin sha'ani toyim. If a person says one kernel of wheat or kernels of wheat, now he's not saying the word kernels, but he's saying wheat as a whole, shani toyim, that I'm not going to eat, aser behen. So then I can't eat the wheat, ben kemach, ben pas, whether it's just in the form of flour or it's already made into bread. Because I included both singular and plural, as we'll see in a moment. Grisin, the same thing with the grit and multiple. Shani toim, that I'm not going to eat it. Aser behen, so I can't eat them themselves singularly. Ben chayim, ben mevushalim, whether they're raw by singularly or whether they are cooked, because that's why I included the double lashon. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, koinem gris, oy chita, if he says specifically one gris or one wheat, shani toim, that I'm not going to eat. Mutar lakos, chayim. So the simple reading of the Mishnah is that I can chew them. I could chew them. Now, the simple reading of the Mishnah is I could chew them because that's not considered eating. However, the Ran learns a little bit differently. The Ran says the reason why I'm allowed to chew it and not eat it is because you never chew one kernel. You never chew one grit. You would always put multiple into your mouth, and therefore by the fact that I singled it out in the individual single lashon, that's not what I meant. So let me give you an example that you can appreciate, hopefully not relate to, but appreciate, like tobacco. You would never, a person chews tobacco. So a person says, I make a neder on tobacco. So if I say I'm making a neder on a single strand of tobacco, so then he doesn't mean the chewing of the tobacco, because nobody puts one strand of tobacco in their mouth. If you ever see, they put a pouch, they put a whole clump in their mouth, right? So that's exactly the same idea that they used to do over here also. So that's why it's because the singular actually excludes the chewing, because you don't chew one, you chew multiple. Okay, that's the way the Ran explains the Mishnah. Let's finish off the parak. Here we go. Tanya Reb Shimon, the Gemara says, Tanya Reb Shimon, we learned in the Braisa, Chita Shani Toyem, one, if I say I'm not eating wheat, Osur La'afois, I can't bake it. Umutur Lokos, but I could chew it. So again, based on what we just explained, that's the explanation. Because I would never chew one, but once I bake it, even though it is originally multiple kernels, but now that I bake it, it becomes one product. And therefore it's going to be us. Chitim sha'ani toyem. But if I say I'm not eating multiple wheats, so then asur lakus, then I can't chew it, because that's the format that I chew. Umutur lafos, but I would be able to eat it in a baked product, because I don't refer to bread as multiple kernels. I refer to bread as one. Chita chitin, but if I say bol shani toyem, then I'm not going to have anything to do with it. So asur ben lakus, ben lafos, then obviously I can't chew it or bake it, because I included both the singular and the plural. Gris shani toyem, same idea. One grit that I'm not going to eat, also lavashel, then I can't cook with it, because cooking again becomes one product. Umutar lakus, but I could chew it, because I wouldn't refer to chewing as a singular. Grisin shani toyem, but if I say it in the plural, so then also lakus, then I can't chew it, because that's how I chew it. I put it in as a clump. Umutar lavashel, but I can cook it, because again, cooking I would refer to it as in the singular. But again, if I say gris grisin, if I say both the singular and the plural, shani toyem, osur ben lavashel ben lakus, then it wouldn't be permissible for me to either cook it, meaning to eat it in a cooked form, or to chew it, because obviously by saying the singular and the plural, I meant to include both types of product and both types of use. Okay, so that takes us to the end of the sixth parak, Hanoider Minimavashel. Gemeretz Hashem, we'll start the next parak next time.